Sir.
Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Happy New Year, Chicago. Wow. So, doing a lot of thinking about 2015, the big stories of 2015, what it all means, and good year, bad year. So, would love to get your input on what you guys think. But I want to talk today about one particular phenomena, I think, really this election cycle, if you will, that started in 2015, and we're going to see a lot of in this coming year, really brought to the forefront. I want to talk about populism in American politics and the rise of populism in American politics. What does it mean? Where it's come from? And what is populism anyway? Does it really mean anything? Because it isn't an ism like communism or fascism or capitalism. Each one of those has a particular ideology behind it. You can say, okay, this and this and this is what socialism is. It's defined by certain writings. It's defined by certain ideas. But what is populism? People throw this term around a lot. What do they mean by it? What is populism? And is populism on the rise in America? And if so, is that a good thing, a bad thing? And how does it manifest? If you want to get in on the conversation, 312-642-5600, 312-642-5600. What do you think about populism in America? And in particular, we're going to talk about, as the show goes on, we're going to talk about two candidates that I think symbolize this trend towards populism, which I still have to explain what I mean by that. But two candidates, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. And I think there are a lot more similarities between those two than differences. But call in if you have an opinion about Donald Trump, if you have an opinion about Bernie Sanders, 312-642-5600. What do you think populism means? And do you think these two candidates are populist in your understanding of that term or not? Now, as I said, I don't think there really is such a thing as populism. You know, it's sometimes defined as a doctrine that appeals to the interests and conceptions of the general population. Really? But what are the interesting conceptions? It's unclear. Who's the general population? Is it really what generates a majority? But you know, regular candidates generate a majority. So what is actually going on here? First of all, I don't think populism is a doctrine. There is no theory behind it. There is no writings you can read, the populist manifesto. Populism really refers to, and again, it's not an ism, but it really refers to using emotion to try to mobilize the masses. Using emotional arguments that appeal to emotion, that usually fear and hope, but a heavy, heavy dose of fear, to mobilize people politically. And it has to be a combination of issues that appeal to people emotionally. The people get caught up in it. People get kind of excited about, usually anger, usually upset. Think of Bernie Sanders, millionaires and billionaires. You know, if you say millionaires and billionaires 1,000 times and you say it with scorn in your voice, what are you doing? You're appealing to people's emotions and you're trying to get them, you're trying to get them excited about something and angry about something, and they don't quite understand what it is, this something that you're trying to get them excited about, but you've got their attention, and they're gonna listen to you, and they're gonna follow up with you, and all populist movements do this. They find a scapegoat. They find somebody to hate, somebody to resent, somebody to go after. And then they repeat it and they repeat it and they make you fear it and they make you hate it. And fear and hatred are big. And then there's hope, right? if only we can deal with these, if only we can deal with these outsiders, if only we can deal with this really, really bad group, if only we can solve this one supposed problem, America will be great again. Everything will be fine. Everything will be good. So in that sense, I use the term here, populism, as referring to exactly that, referring to kind of people, political leaders, who are trying to evoke a strong emotional response in the population. Not using reason, not using arguments, not using necessarily facts or distorting the facts, in order to create a strong emotional bond. Again, the strongest emotional bond one generates is through fear. Every dictator knows this. Everybody who's taken over a country has known this. And populism is often associated with fascism, but it's not uniquely fascist. There's popular socialism, but it's definitely associated with authoritarianism, with statism, with I, the political leader, is going to solve these problems. I am going to fix it. I am going to take away this thing that you fear, this thing that you're intimidated by, this thing. And that's the source of hope. The source of hope is me. The source of hope is the person. That's why it's always associated with a strong individual. You know, in South America, populism is often associated with socialism. Chavez was both a populist and a socialist, and he tries to combine there, a kind of an appeal to folk wisdom and to kind of the indigenous tribes and the indigenous nature and indigenous culture. He's got charisma, and at the same time, it's an anti-wealth, the devil in Venezuela where they're successful, the wealthy, you often were European and not indigenous. In different cultures, but again, the core of it is this appeal to emotion. The core of it is to play off of fear and to try to drive the bond between you. It looks like we've got a bunch of callers, so we're going to start with my favorite. We're going to start with Sean. Sean, how's it going?
Wonderful, wonderful, but you confused me a little bit because you have
Happy New Year first.
Happy New Year to you. Happy, healthy, and prosperous New Year. Let's be capitalists above all.
Absolutely.
You have described to me how I have interpreted the American political system since 1929. Populism is basically the collective talking point knowledge of a society. And that is the tyranny that we are living under. Now, you can argue the nuances of the Soviets we refer to as Democrats or the Fabian socialists we refer to as Republicans. Sure. But there is virtually no difference other than the little tweaks of the social engineering collective ideology that politicians sell us on. That's how you have this economic fraud. Let's take, for example, the national debt as I speak to you. You have politicians who are arguing over national debt, but more importantly, they're putting in what they want it to reflect. They're not putting in the liabilities of our nation or what their actions are. So it's collective collusion and corruption.
So I agree with you on this, Sean. All our politicians, unfortunately, since the 1920s have lied to us. They manipulated us. They've distorted the facts. Some of them have done it, I believe, with a strong ideological bent to the left. They really believed in a particular ideology, a leftist ideology, and then they use emotions to manipulate us. And then there are those on the right who typically agree with the left ideologically, but on some issues, whether it's social issues or a respect for the American past, have a particular, but there's a certain core beliefs that each group stands for. Yes, they lie and they distort and they manipulate in order to drive us in a particular direction. I think the difference is, and it's subtle, I agree with you, it's not a huge difference, but the difference is that I think the populists really, truly don't stand for anything. It's all
exactly
about power.
You've just described described Paul Ryan. You just described
Paul Ryan. I see. I think Paul Ryan stands for something. I mean, I don't like what he stands for, and neither do you. But I do think he stands for something. And I think Paul Ryan, as much as I resent what he does and so on.
You're doing what I do and what everybody tends to do. You cast your ideology, your morality onto others. If we were to simply judge Paul Ryan by his life in politics since the age of 1929, a man who has voted for every single spending bill that was ever put in front of him, who just told us what a wonderful conservative he is, how he's going
to... That music means we're about to be done. Look, if we judge him based on all of that, he has a compromising status. And I think what happens to most of these politicians is they believe something and they're too cowardly to live up to that. And Paul Ryan fundamentally is a coward more than anything else. Thanks, Sean, for calling. When we get back, we'll take Mike and Al and we'll continue our conversation on populism.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. The Bishop Ford heading inbound heavy between Sibley and 130th Street. It's because of a crash on the right-hand shoulder. The outbound lane's a little slow between the Dan Ryan and 130th Street. On the Kennedy heading inbound, it's slowing down between the O'Hare Extension and Cumberland. Also tapping the brakes between Lawrence into the Burns Circle Interchange. O'Hare to downtown is 30 minutes from the junction is 18. Outbound lane slowing down between Central and Sayre. Downtown to the Junction 10 to O'Hare 23. Express lanes are okay. Eisenhower inbound, Thorndale to the post office is 33 minutes. From Mannheim takes 20. And the Stevenson inbound, 355 to Lakeshore Drive, 38 minutes. From the Tri-State, 28. Taking a look at the temperatures tonight, 24 in clear skies. Tomorrow, 31 and partly cloudy. Currently, 34 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
I'm Dan Prof.
And I'm Amy Jacobson.
And it's that time of the year again. The weather here in Chicago is getting cold, but the sun is shining in Los Cabos, Mexico.
And that's where we'll be heading in April for a week of luxury and fun at the Secrets Puerto Los Cabos Golf and Spa Resort. Our last trip sold out, so don't wait to book with Apple Vacations and join us in Cabo. Visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword escape. That's 560theanswer.com, keyword escape. And escape to Cabo with us.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
So part of the problem with this concept of populism is that it doesn't really mean anything, right? And when I say populists manipulate people using emotion, Sean is right. They all do this. When I say populism is about power, well, aren't all politicians about power? But there just seems to be a difference. And maybe Sean's right. Maybe I'm making this up. But there seems to be a difference between what I think is most politicians and who have a certain set of beliefs and manipulate the facts, manipulate us in order to try to get us around to those beliefs. And between these populists who, you know, who learn how to use phases, who learn how to manipulate emotions, not because they believe anything specific. They want power for the sake of power, and they're willing to use fear-mongering, particularly, in order to evoke it without any attribution to principle. They don't hide it. They don't pretend. You see, one of the differences is Paul Ryan pretends to have principles, and then he violates them left and right. These guys don't even pretend to have principles. Now, again, Bernie Sanders doesn't quite fit in this because I think Bernie does have principles, not very good ones, but some. You know, and this is why this is a very fuzzy term and it's very hard to pin down. But there's something unique here going on, a complete pragmatic but a fear-oriented campaign. That, I think, is what typifies these candidates, that it's focused about fear. It's focused about evoking that emotion of fear. And you don't get that as much from other candidates. Trump and Sanders are particularly emphasizing this idea of fear, this idea of danger, this idea that they can save us, that it's them who is somehow a savior, and they use that effectively. All right, before I get into analyzing that in more detail, let's hear from Al from Springfield, Illinois. Hey, Al, you're on the Iran Book Show. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I always view populism as basically a social form of pragmatism. You know, with pragmatism, you don't really think about the solution. You just kind of do something in order to do something and look at the results later to see if it worked or not. Populism.
Yeah, no principles.
Absolutely no principles. You just act in order to do something and check the results. And I look at populism as the same way, only in a more social view, where, you know, they're going to, sometimes they're going to promise you, you know, like you said, they're just saying stuff in order to be able to get you to vote for them, and they're no principle to it whatsoever. You know, they have nothing to back, no substance to back up what they're saying at all.
Yeah, and I think Sean would say, and I think he's right to a large extent, is most politicians are pragmatists. But I think there's a difference in the type of argument they make. And maybe populism is the wrong word. Maybe we should abandon it. But there's a certain something that's unique about the Trump campaign and the Sanders campaign that is different, even from Hillary and even from Ted Cruz and the others. And I think that part of it is that they really have nothing positive to offer. They're really focused on the negatives. They're focused on fears. And the positive is, trust me, things will be good. Particularly with Trump.
You're not going to get that with either one of those. Absolutely not. No. Because, I mean, Trump, let's face it, he's about as far from a capitalist as you can get. He's a total crony. And, you know, it's just another, you know, powerless, ego-feeding thing. The idea that he might actually get elected is scary. You know, I figured he would have dropped out by now, just, you know, he had his little moment in the sun, but
he's going to be around for a while. Oh, I agree with you, Al. But and thanks for calling. And we're going to take a call from, from Mike.
Right.
Mike, you're on the Iran Book Show.
Yes. I like the topic up to a point, but if you're talking about populism as, let's say, a way to communicate a message, but I think it's so hard to follow the money. We know, I think, that likely Trump is not anybody's sock puppet. As far as the others go, with the super PACs and everything else, like today at a Bernie Sanders rally, presumably there was a Trump protester. Now, was it a plant? Is Bernie Sanders getting money from the Jeb Bush campaign, from the Hillary campaign? We can't follow the money. So when Trump says something,
actually, you can't follow the money. I mean, most of the money is pretty transparent. You can see where the money's going.
Not with the super PACs, and then we don't even know if a Republican is shoving money into some of the Democrat candidates. Sanders, you know, for example, getting money from the Bush campaign. What seems to me apparent, if you go to the fascist part, you know, I think, in your heart, that if Bush or Clinton or Sanders get in, those sticks from the derivation of fascism are going to be whacking people right and left. I think that the risk is a lot less with Trump. Trump is maybe there's a message of populism, but underlying it is a reset for this country to at least have some sense of nationalism, borders, language, culture, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and, but this is remember that most fascist movements are nationalist movements, and most fascist movements emphasize exactly that. They emphasize borders, and they emphasize. What's that?
What would you call the Obama administration?
Well, I would call almost all, modern American administrations as leaning fascist. That is, I don't think they're socialist in this sense. Socialism means that the state owns the means of production. I think fascism primarily means that the state controls the means of production. It leaves us, the citizens, with the fiction that we still have private property. But they, through the regulatory state, they, through controls, they really control our lives, right? They control our businesses. They tell us what we can produce, how we can produce it, when we can produce it. And we're not seeing fascism yet in America, but that's where we're tilting. We're tilting greater control.
Then you don't think political correctness is sort of an advanced form of fascism?
Well, it is. Now, luckily for us, so far in the United States, we have a semblance of a First Amendment. And political correctness cannot be enforced at the legislative level, but it is being enforced in places like our universities. And I view that, by the way, as the biggest threat to American freedom today. It's the attack on free speech, particularly at our universities, and attack on our First Amendment. So political correctness is, in a sense, a form. And I think Donald Trump's main appeal, the biggest appeal of Donald Trump, I believe, is the fact that he's not politically correct, that he's willing to say whatever comes into his mind, that he doesn't seem to be playing games, and he's using that to great effect. But when he actually says the stuff that he says, it scares me. And my fear is this: when somebody says something that Donald Trump doesn't like, he creates his own political correctness. He's not exactly welcoming of dissenting views. So he has the same problem. And by the way, Donald Trump, unfortunately, is no advocate of the First Amendment. If you think about what Donald Trump said after Garland, Texas, if you remember Garland, Texas, these Muslims attacked with semi-automatic weapons a gathering for a competition on the Muhammad cartoons. And what did Donald Trump say? He basically blamed, the cartoon drawers. He basically said they were asking for it. That doesn't come out of somebody who actually believes in
something bit different. He said that effort in that part of Texas was disgusting. In other words, it was baiting in a disgusting way.
But that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. See, you would never say that putting a Christ in a urinal. Not that I'm supporting that kind of art. I think it's even art. It's not art. It's BS. But you would never say that's baiting Christians. So somebody's drawing a cartoon of Muhammad because there's a real problem in the world,
disgusting.
And he won't defend that. He won't defend it. Now, Cruz did defend it.
He didn't say baiting.
That was the implication that they were baiting.
But
they weren't baiting.
What?
They weren't baiting. They were pointing out a fact.
What they were doing
that political correctness does not allow this.
Pardon me?
What they were doing was pointing out a fact that in the world we live in today, political correctness and the threat of Islamists don't allow this. So, unfortunately, I don't think Donald Trump is a defender of free speech. Now, unfortunately, we have to go now because that's the music that indicates that. Thanks for calling, Mike, and keep listening to the show. I worry about Trump, and I worry about freedom, and I worry about America. And we'll talk more about populism, Trump, and Sanders when we come right back. You're listening to your Ron Brooks Show.
Even after the terrorist attack on Americans in San Bernardino, the president refused to say the words Muslim and terrorists in the same sentence. He calls them extremists, but refuses to call them Muslim extremists. So apparently he doesn't want to offend Muslims. But his refusal to call out the terrorists as Muslim extremists actually can and should offend moderate Muslims who don't want to kill us. Shouldn't the president make that distinction? What's his real problem? Keep listening to find out. AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Over a foot of rains behind perhaps the worst flooding in Missouri's history, the governor took a tour of some of the worst hit areas today.
It pushed the Merrimack River up 35 feet in just 3 days, shattering the all-time flood records for the Merrimack, inundating communities like Eureka, Pacific, Valley Park, Arnold, just to name a few.
Governor Jay Nixon, 15 have died in Missouri. At least 24 have been killed overall. Less than a month until the Iowa caucuses and the 2016 presidential contest begins to feel real.
The new year means campaigns are working even harder to get their candidates in front of as many voters as possible. Republican presidential candidate Governor Chris Christie says he wants Iowans to put him at the top of their list.
And I want to do whatever I need to do to convince you that I'm the right person.
Campaigns are pulling as many resources as they can to the Hawkeye State, and candidates will practically live here all of January.
Fox's Lauren Blanchard. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. On the Bishop Ford heading inbound, it's heavy between Sibley and just before 130th. It's because of a crash on the right-hand shoulder. Outbound lane's a little slow between the Dan Ryan and 130th. On the Dan Ryan itself, heading inbound, it's heavy between the Stevenson Expressway and the Burns Circle Interchange. About 20 minutes between 95th and downtown. Outbound lanes a little slow between 83rd Street and the Bishop Ford. Stevenson heading inbound, 355 to Lakeshore Drive is 36 minutes from the Tri-State 26. Outbound lanes from Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State 25 to 355 is 35 minutes. On the Eisenhower, inbound Thorndale to the post office is 32 minutes. From Mannheim is 19 minutes. Taking a look at the temperatures tonight, 24 in clear skies. Tomorrow is 31 and partly cloudy, currently 34. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
When flipping houses, there's one golden rule: cash talks. I'm going to show you how you can easily get $10,000 plus all the cash you'll ever need for free. I'm Andrew Holmes, popular radio show host and founder of Chicago's number one flipping team. And I've flipped over 600 houses in Chicago right under your nose. And now I'm going to show you how. I'm holding a free seminar right here in the Chicagoland area where I'll give a select few the opportunity to use my funding to flip houses and net up to $40,000 per deal without spending a dime of your own money. You don't need good credit and you don't need any of your own money. If the deal is good, you'll get the funds. The first 100 people to call 844-MONEY-40 and register will receive my blueprint to real estate wealth system for free. All you have to do is find a great deal and pass it on to me and I'll give you $10,000. Time is running out. Seating is very limited. Call 844-MONEY-40. That's 844-MONEY-40.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
See, I'm a capitalist and I'm an objectivist. Objectivist, that's the philosophy of Ayn Rand. And I believe that ideas shape the world, and I believe in principles. And I believe that freedom, capitalism, is the solution to America's problems. It's undoing what we've been doing to this country for 100 years, unwinding the welfare state, eliminating the regulatory state, giving us back our freedom, letting us live our lives as we see fit, building businesses, creating, making stuff. That's what I think America is about. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about taking risks. And I think we're destroying that. We're destroying that because of fear. But fundamentally, we're destroying it because we have bad ideas. And you see what I think that Trump does is he's not challenging ideas. He's playing to our fears. He's not challenging any principles. He's not saying the ideas we have are wrong. We need to change ideas. He's not even saying, let's go back to the Constitution. Donald Trump never talks about the Constitution. He's not a constitutionalist. He doesn't believe in the Constitution. What he does, here's the kind of from his opening speech when he announced his candidacy. He says, we got $18 trillion in debt. We got nothing but problems. We're dying. We need money. We have losers. We have people that don't have it. We have people that are morally corrupt. We have people who are selling this country down the drain. The American dream is dead. And if you want to resurrect it, vote for me, basically. Why? Because I will make America great again. But you notice that for Trump and for so many of our politicians, for this populist trend, the focus is on the people. The focus is on the politicians. It, to me, as bad as the politicians are, that's not the problem. We get the politicians we deserve. The problem is we. The problem is the ideas that drive America today. The problem is what our kids are being taught at school. That's what's killing America. It's the ideas of statism and collectivism, that ideas, the anti-American ideas that resent success and capitalism. That's what's being taught, and that's what needs to be overcome. And there's no ideas in what Trump says. It's just about action devoid of ideas, pragmatic action, short-term action, no principles, no long-term, no sense of history, and no sense of long-term future. Vote for me. I will kick out the losers, and I'll make America great again. And by the way, all our problems are caused by foreigners. Now, this is typical again. You don't want to alienate the people who might vote for you by telling them they are the problem, even though in the case of America, it is our voters who are the problem. What you want to do is find a scapegoat. Find somebody you can blame all your problems on. Immigrants. The Chinese. The Muslims. Now, I'm not saying there are no problems with Islamic terrorism. They certainly are. But what Donald Trump is doing and what too much of the Republican campaign is becoming about is scapegoating. Scapegoating the other, the different, which is a very dangerous policy. A very dangerous policy. So build a wall. Build a wall. Building a wall, by the way, is a strategy for defeat. No empire, no successful country in human history has won a war by building a wall. You win on the offense. You don't win on the defense. You don't win on defense, not in international politics. But building a wall, that's defeatism. That's defeatism. That means we can't defeat the terrorists where they are, and it also means we are so pathetic as an economy that we can't absorb some immigrants who might come into this country. We're so afraid of them. We don't have any self-confidence in our ability to succeed in America unless we build a wall and keep everybody out. It appeals to a zero-sum mentality. The world is a zero-sum. There's a fixed pie. And if more people come across the border, they eat up more of our pie. But no, the fact is, particularly when you have a rational immigration policy, which we don't today, that if you bring in immigrants to work in this country, they grow the pie. They create their own pie. We encourage the wrong kind of immigrants to come today because of our ridiculous immigration policy and because we have made it illegal to come to this country to do an honest day of work. But again, this is the kind of fear, the zero-sum mentality. Oh, somebody's going to take my pie. That populism encourages, that people like Donald Trump encourage, because they feed off of that fear. They feed off of your resentment. The Chinese success, that's bad, because their success is at our expense. Really? Really? All the stuff you buy really, really cheap, that's because of the Chinese. Your life is better because of them. You're listening to the Iran Brooks Show. We'll be right back after this break.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. The Bishop Ford heading inbound, heavy between Sibley and just before 130th Street because of a crash taking out the right-hand shoulder. Outbound lane slowing down between the Dan Ryan and 130th Street. On the Dan Ryan heading inbound, it's heavy between Cermak and the Burns Circle Interchange. Outbound lane's a little slow between 83rd and the Bishop Ford. Stevenson heading inbound, 355 to Lakeshore Drive, 36 minutes from the Tri-State is 26. Outbound lanes from Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State, 25 to 355 is 35 minutes. On the Eisenhower, heading inbound, Thorndale to the post office is 31 minutes from Mannheim is 18. Outbound lanes from the post office to Mannheim is 18 to Thorndale is 31. Finally, on the Edens heading inbound, Lake Hook to the junction is 21 minutes. It's 34 degrees and cloudy. Here's a further look at your local weather forecast.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Hey everyone, Proactiv has a special offer for our listeners. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With prescription-grade Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. They're letting everyone try Proactiv 100% risk-free. For $19.95, you'll get prescription-grade Proactiv plus a rotating deep cleansing brush valued at $45. Totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-644-2614. 1-800-644-2614.
Raj Shah from Secure Retirement Radio talks about taxes and how to effectively pass money to your loved ones.
So when the money's coming out in a distribution phase in retirement, I don't pay any taxes on it. That's a great thing. And also, if something happens to you, you're passing on these assets to your spouse and to your heirs, ultimately in a tax-free manner.
To find out more about building a complete financial plan for retirement, tune in to Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah, Sundays at 7 a.m. here on AM 560, The Answer.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So if I were running for president, I'd focus on the positives. I'd appeal to Americans' love of life, of their own life, love of freedom. I would appeal to what's great about this country. It's the country of opportunity. And I would talk about how we maximize opportunities for everybody who's willing to work. And how do you do that? You do that by returning to the vision of the founders. You do that by returning to a vision that places the individual at the center, not the group, not the collective, not America as a nation, but America as a collection of individuals. And you do that by returning to the founders' idea of individual rights, the right to your own life, your own liberty, and to pursue your own happiness. And that the government is there just to protect you so that you can go off and do your thing and live your life and flourish and succeed. It's not about hatred of a particular group. It's not about hatred of a particular country. It's about securing the rights of Americans. That's the job of government. And I want to know what these politicians, what these candidates are going to do to secure my rights. Because all I can see is the government is already violating my rights in multiple ways by taking my money, redistributing it, by trying to control how I do my business and when I do it and what price I charge and how I run it and how much I pay my employees, how much vacation time I take, what kind of savings I can do. Every aspect is regulated and controlled. I want those freedoms back. That's the solution to the problems. That's a positive message. And one of the things I find interesting is that candidates like Donald Trump, they claim to be for, capitalism and so on. But if you think about it, they're all pro the welfare state. Trump emphasizes how much he's going to save Medicare, and he's going to save Social Security, and he's going to save the welfare state. So he's appealing to the worst in people, their dependency on government, and scaring them using scare tactics to scare them by appealing to fear of the other, fear of the foreigner, fear of stuff they don't understand, like foreign trade and globalization, things that are fundamentally good for Americans. He's turning them into something bad that they should be afraid of. All right, we've got Mike on the line from Chicago. Always, hi, Mike.
Hi, Yaron. Oddly enough, I was talking a subject over with my neighbor Saturday, populism.
Okay.
In regards to Donald Trump. And my thinking is that, and you said it already before I even had a chance to say it on the phone here with you, and that is that he's appealing to people's things that scare them, but in a broad way. So he's appealing to a broad amount of people, maybe 90% of the population. And of course, he's disregarding what's really wrong in America, things like Medicare, Medicaid, the Social Security, welfareism. These things are just tearing down America brick by brick.
Absolutely.
And as far as populism, with regards to the PS, I recall George Wallace and, of course, Adolf Hitler and now Trump. Off the top of my head, these are the ones that strike me as populist. People too try to appeal to people in a broad way. Racism is a broad subject that affects everybody. Of course, with Hitler, he persecuted the Jews and used them as a scapegoat. So, but today, all the Republicans who I am hopeful for, but they don't really address these issues of Social Security and that were in such big
debt. No, and they're afraid to, and they don't know how to. And this has to do with the moral code that we all live under. We're supposed to take care of our neighbor. And therefore, the government's moral responsibility is to take care of them. So nobody will challenge these things, even though If you look at what's actually bankrupting America, where we have, Sean mentioned this earlier in the show, the unfunded liabilities of the federal government are close to $200 trillion. And if you add on state and local governments, or let's put it this way, the federal government's close to $100 trillion. And if you add on the local and all the pension plans and all that stuff, it gets way up there, right? And those are real numbers. Now, the federal debt as it is $18 trillion, which is unbelievably high. But when you get $100 trillion and nobody wants to talk about it, nobody wants to talk about reforming it, this is massive evasion. And the reason they don't want to talk about it is because they don't want to antagonize their base. Donald Trump doesn't want to talk about it. The fact is that I just saw a story that says that most of the support for Trump comes from people who registered Democratic but consider themselves Republican. That is people who have embraced the welfare state but are fed up with the political correctness of the Democrats.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
He's not a conservative. He's not on the right. He's not a capitalist.
No. He's sort of like whoever he comes to, that's who he is. And, Tuesdays he's a Republican, Thursdays he's a Democrat. Maybe Friday.
Whatever he can get away with at the time, right. Whatever he can see the most short-term
gain, really
good, he gets it.
Definition of what a populist is.
And that's what pragmatism is.
Pardon me?
Pragmatism and populism. It's the short-termism, unprincipled.
Eventually those things are usually hang in the end, or the country.
Well, unfortunately, when it comes to politicians, they might hang you, but they hang all of us with you.
I know.
Mike, thanks for calling. Really appreciate the call. Keep on listening to your Ron Brooks show. And absolutely, I agree with you. It's the patterns of these demagogues, of this kind of demagoguery, you can see them across history. It is the demonization of the other. It is playing to people's fears, zero-sum mentality, fears about globalization, fears about losing their jobs. In Bernie Sanders' case, fears about inequality. Inequality is going to kill you. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. We'll be right back after these messages to talk more about populism, Trump.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-503-6673. That's 1-800-503-6673. 1-800-503-6673.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio. Here on AM 560, The Answer.
So today we've been talking about populism. We've been talking about Trump. And let me say something positive about Trump, because he has an appeal out there and people really like him. And I think what they're responding to are two things. One is he projects some sense of self-esteem. I mean, he is a successful human being. He's made money, and he's been successful. And people, Americans, still respond to that. Good for Americans. Now, they didn't so much respond to it with Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney wasn't quite as boastful and outrageous about the wealth that he made. But Donald Trump just says it, and he projects the sense of confidence and self-esteem. And good for Americans for liking that. That is a good thing. And the second thing is, as I said, he's not politically correct. He just says it. And that's also good. I would love all the politicians out there, just say what you think. Say what you really believe. Let us evaluate you, what you really believe. Not what the pollsters tell you could say. Not what your advisors are telling you. Don't be nice artificially. Be who you really are. Tell us how you will really govern. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? And you get a sense from Trump that this is who he is. There's no game here. Now, we might be wrong. He might be manipulating us all along. But he says ridiculous, outrageous things that we go, oh, wow, okay. Okay, that's, you know. So I think that's those are the reasons people attracted to him. And in addition, he's manipulated people. He's manipulated people through fear, through appealing to the worst in us. So in some senses, Trump appeals to some of the best in us, the confidence, the self-esteem, the non-political correctness, and in other ways to the worst in us, our fear of what we don't know, our fear of the different, our fear of the foreigner, our fear, you know, and he's capitalizing on the fact that we live in very uncertain times, economically, security-wise. We're afraid, and there's a certain justification for that fear. Now, he doesn't present a solution, I don't think. And he doesn't articulate a solution, but he says whatever he says with confidence. And he gives us a clear someone to hate. So if you're intrigued by what you hear on the show, on the Yaron Brook Show, I encourage you to follow in Twitter, Yaron Brook, YaronBrook, on Facebook, Yaron Brook, or check out our website, ariradio.com, ariradio.com. And actually, I do another hour and a half on Blog Talk Radio, another podcast, a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Yaron Brook, and there's another hour and a half of me pontificating on the events of the day. Follow me and listen to what we have to go to the Ayn Rand Institute website. And, you know, America's struggling. America's in trouble. And what we're seeing in this political season is a manifestation of that trouble. And this is going to be a crucially important election. And I'm not going to take sides in this election. I'm not going to have a candidate. But I'm going to identify trends. I'm going to identify ideas. I'm going to identify the issues, the most important issues that you should focus on and think about. And then you go out there and vote. But the country's in trouble. We need you to stand for the principles of the founders of this country. And that's what we do here on this show. We stand for the principles of the American founding. Talk to you next week. You're listening to Yaron Brook Show.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org. Your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics.